Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 4th, 2013.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
We saw that fructose did not cause feelings of fullness, whereas the participants reported an increase in feelings of fullness after the glucose drink.
The plant is actually producing toxins and so forth that are defending itself against the herbivores.
The whole frame of the wells was built in log cabin style with interlocking cogs at the corners to withstand the pressure from outside.
They have extremely flexible ankles, and they put their foot flat up against a tree, and they sort of walk up it.
This week, why we may be better tree climbers than we think, what ancient wells can tell us about Neolithic technology, and plants that sniff out danger. But first, correspondent Justin Warner reports on the growing link between fructose and obesity.
Fructose, a sugar used in many processed foods today, may fail to fill us up and even make us hungrier. This according to a brain imaging study by University of Southern California endocrinologist Kathleen Page and her colleagues. While at Yale University, Page's team found that after people drank a glucose beverage, parts of the brain associated with food seeking became less active, but fructose didn't have that effect.
In addition to that, we saw that fructose did not cause feelings of fullness, whereas the participants reported an increase in feelings of fullness after the glucose drink.
The study adds to a growing body of evidence that fructose consumption could promote overeating and obesity.
What we think is that it's not causing that feeling of fullness because it's not regulating that area in the brain called the hypothalamus. And in turn, people are driven to eat more because they don't feel full. And in addition to that, those areas that cause us to have a reward feeling remain active. So those areas are going to drive us to eat more food.
Page notes that our bodies may be tuned to respond specifically to glucose, since that's the dominant sugar in our bloodstream. Moreover, back when humans got fructose mostly from fruits and vegetables, wanting more of the same wouldn't have been such a bad thing.
Thanks, Justin. Many people assume that woodworking was very primitive before metal tools were invented, but excavations of ancient water wells in Germany suggest that Neolithic peoples were actually very skilled carpenters. Rengert Elberg of the Archaeological Heritage Office of Saxony says most wooden structures from the time period decomposed long ago, but some wooden wells have been preserved. That's because they've remained below the water table for the past 7,500 years in an oxygen-free environment where bacteria couldn't destroy them.
And now with those preserved timbers from these Stone Age wells, we see they were really good carpenters, and the whole frame of the wells was built in log cabin style with interlocking cogs at the corners to withstand the pressure from outside.
He says the stone tool used to cut the wood is called an adze, which is still being used by some woodworkers today.
We shouldn't forget that they were exactly the same people as we are, with the same possibilities, just technological, not as advanced as we are.
Next, our ancient ancestors lived in trees, but most people assume that when we became bipedal, we lost our arboreal skills. Suzanne Bard says this might not be the case.
If you've ever tried to climb a tree, you may have been left wondering how our tree-dwelling ancestors did it. But according to researchers at Dartmouth College, modern humans may still be able to with practice. The Twa people are hunter-gatherers who live in the rainforests of southwestern Uganda and regularly climb trees to forage for food. According to biological anthropologist Vivek Venkatraman, they can flex their ankles up to 45 degrees, much more than the average person. This, along with their relatively short stature in relation to arm length, allows them to scale trees with ease.
They have extremely flexible ankles, and they put their foot flat up against a tree, and they sort of walk up it, and it's a very smooth, coordinated motion. And we realized that this kind of behavior had some pretty significant implications for understanding the evolution of locomotion in the human lineage.
He says that many people could probably develop the same degree of ankle flexion as the Twa if they habitually climbed trees. People who have worn high heels for years have the opposite problem. The muscles in their ankles are short and can't flex much at all. This suggests that ankle flexion can increase or decrease with use.
Thanks, Suzanne. Male fruit flies use chemical odors to attract mates. But to plants called goldenrods, these amorous scents spell danger. That's because after the flies mate, the females lay their eggs in the goldenrod's stem, damaging the plant. Penn State University entomologist Mark Mesker and his colleagues found that goldenrod plants can actually detect the fruit fly smell. And when they do, they build up their defenses accordingly.
So the plant is actually producing toxins and so forth that are defending itself against the herbivores. And we can see that that's stronger in plants that have previously been exposed to this odor.
It's already known that some plants can detect distress chemicals from nearby plants that are being attacked by insects. But this is the first time a plant's been shown to respond to a chemical from the enemy itself. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of mind-expanding science stories for you. But if that's too long to wait for your next science fix, tune in to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. That's 1-800-949-4748. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.